Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the Raw Review. We are the Dudley Boys of What Culture. I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Michael Hamflet and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Men in an Hour Out, but also run SmackDown. His show for me on his NXT 2.0. We're done about AW Collision pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete a really good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, we are back together, me, Hamflet, and Sidgwick, here to review Monday Night Raw. Hamflet, another great show.
You're joking. Not another one?
Just another Tuesday. Just another Tuesday. Look, I have no problem admitting when I was wrong, and I was wrong because I said that I believed in my guts that like the Triple H era, despite him telling you, was starting at WrestleMania, was actually coming to an end. And his latest quest appears to be to get rid of the post-WrestleMania lull, that feeling that we all have, that like big show hangover, the big payoff hangover, all that sort of stuff. I found it, there's lots to talk about on this Raw, and I can't wait to dig into it, but I found it interesting how like Cody Rhodes almost intentionally minimized his participation on this, even referring to himself as a SmackDown superstar, as if to separate himself from Raw and let Raw sort of stand up for itself. No Rock, no like no WrestleMania of any description. It's like, here's all the new stuff, all the new stuff. The new stuff's pretty hot. So like, maybe he'll just carry on. Maybe this is the next Vince Ghost exercise of, it doesn't have to be rubbish after WrestleMania. That was just something they decided to do for 30 years. Like, maybe he'll try that next. I'm all for it.
I've got some exciting personal news to share.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know about this.
I have completed my medical degree, my supplementary foundational education, and I'm now junior Dr. Fed.
Yes!
Well, welcome to the practice.
Not really. I will say that the Intercontinental title division from the beginning, well, tracing it back to Gunther's reign.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to go full like mid-2010s. Tracing it back to your Perfects and Sean's and your Bretts.
No. We're going back to the Gunther reign and specifically the start of 2024 and where we've ended up. It is a masterpiece of booking. I'm in love with it. In my stomach, in my guts, I feel this deep, almost awestruck affinity with how well it's all gone. Mm. And I think it's the best booking of pro wrestling I've seen this year.
Wow.
Outside of the formation of the Elite. Mm. But this feels like, I don't know, like way more effective. I just think it's incredible. And I cannot wait to unpack all of the reasons when we get to that main event.
It was very surreal yesterday. It was me and Sid, obviously, previewing Monday Night Raw. We were both just so giddy to get to this match and talk about this match.
Oh, this match, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the whole show.
No.
Come on, we're not
quite there yet. But because I think a lot of people were concerned, whenever it happened, obviously it happened at Mania, but whenever it happened, when Gunther dropped that title, is that title going to slowly or instantly just suddenly be like, that's a mid-card title again? And yet the way that they've booked it from, obviously, the surprise of Sammy winning through to the inevitable, when are we getting this Chad thing? We thought it might happen at the Raw after Mania. Me and Sid said the moment Chad celebrated after the Imperium win and walked behind him, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And then they booked the big match for this week. They've, like you say, they've really maintained that prestige and the excitement around that belt.
Crystallizes the difference as well. I think those differences between the old regimes and the new regime are really becoming actually worth talking about. And like we're talking market improvements, not just on this incredibly low bar, but like the difference is the part-timer used to go away and you'd think, oh, nothing else is really interesting anymore. The part-timer never came in for this storyline, and it's like significantly better as a result. Like, obviously, Brock Lesnar is a complete piece of shit. We know that, but if you're being truly honest with yourself, before all this happened, the prospect of a motivated Brock versus Gunther, I mean, that was going to be an incredible match if Brock Lesnar brought the very best of his game. Now, I'm just, for the wrong reasons, for the right reasons, I'm obviously happy that it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. But even for the wrong reasons, I'm like, it's better.
Well, it's a multifariously good pivot, this, isn't it? Because if you take Brock as the challenger, and that was seemingly, you know, we've all been kind of like informed that that was the case, and it would have been an awesome match. The worries that we had around Christmas of, I think Gable's just done, guys. I think it's time to like give up on that dream, were founded. It wasn't going to be Gable. Yeah. But in deciding to go with Sami Zayn as a star, not quite on Brock Lesnar level, but nearly, and you can tell a different story with Sami, and then to fold Gable back in to make all of this work, is like, again, we're talking main event stuff now, but like
Sami did more interesting stuff with Roman than Brock Lesnar ever did.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's like Sami had made enough of an argument to earn that spot 10 times over. But then at the same time, such is the way that like Triple H seems to have a good hand on everything at the moment. Why waste that feeling that people had for Chad Gable? Why not fold him back in at just the right time that you get to where we've got to today? Where like, you know, there's another old Intercontinental title story before it all went bad. Is like Sami Zayn's a modern day Ricky Steamboat having just defeated Randy Savage, and Chad Gable's an ultra worker honky tonk man that could take it all away any day now. Mm. And they're doing that again. And that, you know, that sticks in people's minds as a time when the belt meant everything, and it could mean everything again if Gable is cruel enough to take this belt from him. Like the short reign is not some sort of, oh, we've just done this to pop the building on the night and then we'll worry about that in a couple of weeks. The short reign could now be full of just heartbreak because Gable is like having to exercise his own ghosts of what happened with his own family. And it's been thought through from what was obviously a plan B. They've not just gone, well, it's plan B, so we can't make it good. It's like, it's plan B. Let's make it feel like better than what plan A was going to be. Mm-hmm. That's the sign of good booking.
Yeah. Yeah. And to talk about the momentum attempting to be continued after WrestleMania, a little bit of a cheat code. You know, they've booked a women's world title match for this SmackDown this week. They've booked a tag title match for next week on Raw. Whatever happens with Rhea Ripley's world title, I think is going to be resolved or at least set up on next week's Raw, whether it be a tournament or literally just a crowning of a new champion after a match or just, there you go, whatever they want to do. But I think in fairness to WWE, previously, if we'd have said, right, the week after the Raw after WrestleMania, they're going to do an IC title match and you take Gunther out of the picture, you'd have been like, that's not main eventing. Unless it's hometown and you want to be really cruel to the hometown person, as they always used to do. The excitement I felt throughout this show, when you knew it was going to be the main event, they announced it was going to be the main event, the tension, Sige, of, he's got a bit of an injury. And we talked about this. We talked about the possible conclusions to this match and how all they will all be viable and enjoyable, whether he cheats to win, whether he sees an opportunity to cheat and doesn't do it or whatever, or whether, as we saw what happened, not to get ahead of ourselves, he fights fair and then snaps and goes, that's it, I've been the nice guy for far too long. I thought it was just really, really well played out.
Yeah, like across the show, I think there was like a number of different standout things. It's a Tuesday and we're talking about Raw. There was a number of standout things I enjoyed. But
it's normal now, isn't it?
Yeah, there continues to be a number of things there are to enjoy most weeks on Raw.
Don't worry if there's any haters listening to this podcast. Trust me, I hated a lot of it. So we'll get there. Still the same podcast. Still the same stuff.
The best.
Still the same good stuff.
The best, like, it was two, at WrestleMania, we haven't really talked about this, but like, it was two tell, don't show for me, and just how insistent Triple H was on making it clear, this is my thing now, dead is gone. And that was what he was saying. But the funniest thing he did was America the Beautiful. I didn't need him to say New Era. It was like, that's a real old school Triple H. Yeah. That's right out of the 2003 Blade, but that one, you bastard. Like, I kind of love that. But this, like, the best comparison I can make to WWE doing this for real once upon a time and not needing to say it's happening is WrestleMania 14 and Steve Austin being crowned as champion as a toast of, like, how this star has been on the rise and now nothing can stop WWE under the steam of Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Raws after WrestleMania in the immediate aftermath weren't WWE slowing down. They were speeding up. It didn't matter that Austin only had like Mick Foley to work with because Triple H remembers it. He was there carrying Shawn Michaels' bag. But like, there he was ready to like take on DX, who were mega over against The Rock's Nation of Domination, who were mega over. Steve Austin had Vince McMahon, so it didn't matter that he didn't have wrestlers to fight. That product was hot and just needing one show to confirm it as such. And then in the aftermath of WrestleMania, there were all these stars that were either just fitting in or just about to break through that you had an entire summer to look forward to. And that gets you to like a SummerSlam that, like, you'll remember, Sidge, almost felt as hot as the Highway to Hell.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Highway to Hell.
It was like, oh, like WrestleMania's just seeing the end of 97 and the bad period for business. By 98, it's like the summer's been unbelievable. There's 50 new guys. Val Venus is saying, what? like everything was hot. This is the kind of summer, if you look at a Raw now, this is the kind of summer WWE could have because there's a bunch of wrestlers that were there or thereabouts in the post-WrestleMania season. Traditionally, that's like, it's like, who's going to get a chance in the draft? Jinder. It wasn't because there was somebody that had earned it. It was just, we're just going to take a punt on it. Like, Sid, your annual list, the random post-WrestleMania punt.
Yeah, I can't write anymore.
Like, I used to love doing that
10 candidates for WWE's bizarre post-WrestleMania push.
These are just people that have been nicely slotted in, ready for the post-WrestleMania. Yeah,
we had the Shining Stars.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal. Who else got that weird, make Darren Young great again? What are we doing
Lacey
here?
Lacey Evans smashing Becky Lynch with a woman's right night after 35. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was all the time. It was as sure as the rain, as you'd say. And now it's like, well, no, the slots are for the people that were clearly on the come up. And we have either had a big Mania moment or are about to have one now, like a Gable. It doesn't feel like it needs to slow because of the things that have been put in place.
Well, let's get into the show because, well, it's starting on a bit of a sour note, to be honest. Did you know about this before Raw?
Yes.
Me and him, I just went to bed last night and he's off Twitter at the moment. So I show opened, I was like, oh, I thought it might be Cody opening the show.
I was going to ask, why are you off Twitter? But that answers itself.
Yes.
I have to pay attention to my loved ones. And I'm on such a WrestleMania come down that I would just instead scroll my phone, refreshing, looking for other people's WrestleMania memories, pictures, videos, whatever. So like, I have to take a post-WrestleMania Twitter
break. That's fine.
So like, I can remember what my children's faces look like.
So I thought it might be, Drew or Cody or someone like that. And Rhea's music hits. And then I'm like, wait a second, why is Pierce in the ring? And she comes out of the sling on, obviously, and people who know what's about to happen. She says, look, it's obvious we know what's going on. Again, I'm like, no, I don't. What's going on? But after the attack from Liv Morgan last week, she's going to be stuck on the bench for a few months. She's injured. She's been told. She's pissed off. She's trying to get her words out. She needs to vacate the one thing that means the most to her. There's BS chants, and she agrees with that. This championship means the most to her in her entire life. That's why it's so painful. And she lays the title down on the mat. She says, this is all because of Liv's stupid revenge tour. She could have actually had some respect for her, but she blindsided me like the coward she is. And she knows why that was, because I'd have dropped Liv where she stood. Ripley says, a warning for whoever holds the title when she returns. She's coming back for blood. And they'd have to lock her up in a Montreal jail if she saw Liv Morgan tonight. Cue Liv Morgan. She comes out happy as Larry that all this has transpired. The security is straight on it. Postman Pierce is like, please don't. They hold Liv back. They hold Rhea back. And Rhea's like, fair enough. And then she just headbutts a security guard and leaves. What did you make of this?
Loads to love here for me. So we went through a period of years of wrestling having this strange relationship with serious injuries where, like, I don't know, if maybe this isn't an AEW thing. It certainly happened in WWE over and over again. It was like, have we lost sight of what we're doing here? Blame it on somebody. Get somebody over. Yeah. Mm. And it was said, it was people coming out and crying, and look, real injuries are awful. Mm. Get well soon, Rhea Ripley. But like, it's wrestling. Make money from this situation, you know, like turn a bad into a good. And in that sense, this couldn't have gone better for Liv Morgan, who wasn't cast to be apologetic or remorseful, but instead was just like, you know what? Like, you did this to me last year. You f***ed me then, f*** you now. Like, it was like, I felt more for Liv Morgan in that moment than I have in the years of watching her in WB when they've told me, and her admittedly quite large, like, stan community has told me, watch me. I'm watching. I'm getting nothing.
Yeah.
I got something. Like, I was so pleased that she was allowed to, like, just come out with this massive grin on her face. Yeah. Like
fake tears.
Oh, yeah, it's like, it's both, like, heelish and a bit cowardly because she'll fight somebody with one arm, but it actually gives that character a bit of personality because we've seen, like, everything's the Drew McIntyre sample now, but we've seen that resentment building over how close she's been coming. And there was obviously going to be a story there where Liv Morgan gets progressively closer and closer. You had it with the Rumble and with Elimination Chamber. This feeds into it well, and that's how he should use injuries. But also, I think it's a pretty big win for Rhea Ripley. Love Rhea Ripley. Dirty little secret, the title reign hasn't had the matches. Mm-hmm. Not really. It's had big peaks. Well, she wins it against Charlotte, she retains it against Becky. Massive peaks. A lot of stuff in the middle where it's created a
fun of backlash.
Hasn't mattered because she's become an enormous star.
Oh, yeah.
So it hasn't mattered, but the matches have often not been there. This is the best way for her to lose this belt. Like, there wasn't a Gunther defeat coming here. There was just, she's either dominant until she isn't. Now, there's like a sense of injustice to it. And she walked a tightrope of how to be a heel as a character, but as a babyface that people love. The comeback is going to be awesome. We talk about time off helping wrestlers in the TV churn era. Other than I hope Rhea Ripley gets well soon, and yes, I hope the injury's not bad.
Mammy in the Bank?
Well, there you go. So it's got wordplay, so it's instantly goated. But, like, whenever she comes back, it's going to be red hot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think all things considered, as long as her rehab's okay, this kind of couldn't have gone better for everybody involved. It maybe just doesn't probably feel it in the moment for Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, it's that wrestling injury paradox where it's the worst and best thing that could happen to you at any given moment, because we were all at Lincoln Financial Field. We all felt that sentiment in the arena of, well, it's desperate to cheer her. Doesn't matter if she's cast as a heel, whether she cheats, whether she says unspeakable things to the baby faces, she's the coolest. And people like cool stars more than they like heroes. That's just professional wrestling. It helps if they're one and the same, but in this case, they weren't. So now, you don't have to eat the loss to arrive at the babyface turn. You will take that time off. You will probably return as a babyface. It would be impossible to... It was already untenable, her being a heel. Now, you've got that organic fan support, plus that lengthy layoff that will always make people miss you more. She will return as this vengeful babyface who everyone was besotted with at WrestleMania, and you don't have the loss. So you've still got that invincible, she'll just beat everyone aura. She's like the goth Hollywood good.
She's just become like a Royal Rumble favourite.
Yeah.
If you keep the belt, if she's 6 months and you keep the belt off her in the winter months, the story is that she's going to reclaim it at WrestleMania, the belt she never lost. Like, instantly, she's a Rumble favourite.
And Liv, well, I'm just have to echo Hamford completely here. I've never felt anything for Liv Morgan. I've seen the odd sort of dynamic in-ring performance, but never consistently, never so loud that she's become even close to undeniable. You know, manage this well and you'll heat her up considerably, and that women's roster needs depth, and they might have just got it here,
Would you put the title straight away on Liv?
Yeah, of course I would. It depends. Like, it depends really how long the layoff is, because you don't want to credit someone with that storyline attack, and then she has failed in that title rule before. But at the same time, if she's worth having a huge return match with, she should be able to maintain how hot she is, how credible she is, or how good she is, for less than a year. I mean, that's the bare minimum. If you've truly got the stuff, put her in the position to succeed, and then you can do a very, very... And if she doesn't, and she just meanders around, as she quite frankly has for much of her career, Rhea Ripley can kill her in a singles match on Raw, and then go on to more important things and target whoever the champion is. You can make up any story you like. It's pro wrestling. Give her the shot.
Mm.
These things don't happen, nor does anyone want them to happen very often. But as he's like, capitalize on the heat.
We get an announcement of the WWE draft, and then a nice moment with the Judgment Day, embracing Rhea in the back, and the crowd are applauding, and Damian Priest says Ripley's going to come back and make Morgan regret what she did. More badass than ever, she'll come back. And Rhea tells him to keep Judgment Day on top and to look after Dom. Yeah. I'm not doing that. Shocker not. And then we got the return of Sheamus. Sheamus is back, and we were guessing he was just going to get some sort of jobber to destroy and bro kick the head off of. But it was Ivar that he was challenging here.
Bellavivar, but he does do a lot of jobs.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's all right. He's off to have an absolute ripper with Obafemi and NXT, so that I can lose again here, I suppose. Sheamus is back. He's got his old theme music. He's got shorts now instead of his regular gear. There's welcome back chants. There's let's go Sheamus chants. And he gets into it with Ivar. Hits a big white noise off the middle rope to pop the crowd and takes to break. When we come back, Sheamus hits a big power slam, the 10 beats of the Bodhran. Ivar drops in, though, roundhouse kick and a splash, gets a two count. He tries for a springboard crossbody, but Sheamus hits a knee strike, another running knee, and the brogue kick for the 1-2-3. And afterwards, a sweaty Sheamus knocks the drinks all over the commentators and gives him a big cuddle.
Has it got the kneecap?
Yeah,
is that meant to be a play on words of nightcap or something?
I don't know, because it is just his kneecap, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know. Not very good name.
I am conscious that we should be grateful for Sheamus because he went a lot of years not getting his flowers, I think, like, and then it really started to happen all at once. I think people, like, it was probably during the Gunther feud where people were seeing the matches and then reappraising the bar and then reappraising a lot of other stuff that came before. Sidge was always super high on the Daniel Bryan stuff.
That Extreme Rules match is so awesome, man.
And you look back and Sheamus had a lot of that in him when he was considered this overpushed Triple H pet project. And he had that like stigma attached. So like, I don't want to, and you know, he's getting up there in age and rust and all of these things. I wasn't particularly moved by this. And as you say with Ivar, Sheamus versus Ivar at this point, again, a credit to Ivar, despite the fact that he loses more than he wins. That sort of promises something, doesn't it?
Banger.
Like, yeah. You're like, it's a bit of a thigh rubber, this one. And it didn't really get to that point. But again, nice seeing back. Could be rust.
Mm.
I think there's a great ease. Sheamus has got a huge amount of equity with WWE fans. So that's not to say you couldn't slot him into pretty much anything you want to. So he's a perfect utility player to have back. But I would like to see over the coming weeks, like, I don't know, a bit more snap to the work. This wasn't what I thought it probably could have been.
Yeah, it was a bit laboured. But again, first match back. And if you look, he's got a litany of injuries that he's suffered over his career. He's worked a style that I honestly find it astonishing that he was able to be as stiff for as long as he was in that system.
Mm.
Maybe it's caught up with him. It catches up to everyone. We'll see. Again, equity is the right word. People will not... Well, hopefully there won't be dicks and just turn on him if he turns in. Because he just looked so... He looked like a total world beater when he was last active in WWE. He was one of the real, true early successes of a early Levesque era where, you know, it's kind of a meme and a joke for the whole the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, who he was bringing back, those like turgid overlong Raw matches. Sheamus was one of the few for me personally where I was like, nah, I think I'll give him a degree of credit. He's doing some right things as Levesque. A boring bitch, even though he's not that boring anymore, it doesn't look like.
You're right, like, he's like, oh, we're going to get Sheamus at the Brawling Brutes fight, Gunther. And anyway, now he's 30 minutes of Dexter Lumis. What's going on?
Yeah, I know.
It was still a bit of a mixed experience.
There's still that. So hopefully people remember that, and hopefully he can return to that form. But, you know, if you go that hard, I mean, look at Hulk Hogan. He didn't really go that hard, and his back's a complete mess. Yeah. It happens to every wrestler. Maybe it's happening to Sheamus now. We'll see. We'll see.
For a guy Sheamus' size, he had kind of like a weird Will Ospreay, Jason neck period of his career, didn't he? And it's like, he's massive.
Yeah.
We get a big video package hyping up the IC title match, and Chad and Sammy really excited for that later on. And then Triple H comes out. Paul Levesque's there to get a great reaction.
Can we have a little... If you want to be out there, just revel in it, luxuriate in it. Don't give me this horse... about how you're getting forced out there. Come on, guys. I came out to thank you. And you're saying, thank you, Hunter? What, do you think you were coming out of silence?
Cody, tell him I don't want to come out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I really wouldn't mind. I don't think much of him. But the idea, as a man, the idea that he doesn't want to do this makes me sick.
This was like... Like, he's done it with the belts previously, so you're like, you can almost give him the pass.
But what's Adam Pearce foot there for?
Yeah, based on...
You never see Triple H, Paul Levesque, like, doing this grunty admin work where he's, like, resolving an argument.
No.
But when there's a shiny new belt or a big new champion to do the pose with and get the big headlines, what's Adam Pearce? Why can't he do that? You know what I mean? It's pathetic.
This is like the curtain call of his, like, WrestleMania weekend, but he's like... Hey, Sidge, I heard of a current core before and it changed the goddamn business. Gets in JR's face. Remember that, Jim?
Remember that, Jim? Makes me sick to my stomach, JR. If you want to shoot here, I'll shoot, JR.
Stole his hat from Shane Douglas. Makes me sick to my stomach.
I always think whenever he presents new belts, he
Dick Fleer. Again, two things. Dick Fleer.
Shoot Fleer.
Dick.
It was classy in Shane Douglas. He said, cut the f***ing music.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Swearing, swearing.
Swearing's good. We saw The Rock swear in Wells Fargo. I was a wreck.
Siege was on. I think the Fed's the best, actually. Not later on, but, you know, right now.
Do you worry about your kids watching on YouTube? We're not getting on YouTube kids anytime soon. No, no, no.
Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever Triple H presents new belts, he should have to make that noise he made once when he held up the title. Yeah! Anyway, McAfee said he's...
the honk one, the goose honk he did. After he showed the Katie Vick video. What a freak.
I like the one where he takes off an imaginary T-shirt.
get some muscles off his body, he's sort of jacked.
Anyway,
such a loser. The game. He's booking like this golden era of like my favorite stuff. And he's like, he's still Triple H.
Still a Vec. Still a Vec. He can get a book now. I think it's unfortunate. I can't wait to put over his work in the IC title picture. He's great at that.
Yeah. So there's a new belts in the ring under a cover. Triple H says Mania started a new era, and that new era altered the tag division. Pierce says Raw and SmackDown have got their own titles. They deserve titles they can be proud of. So let's bring out the champs. Out comes Awesome Truth. You deserve it, chant. Truth's so excited he just does the splits in the middle of the ring.
Sorry, two things. We haven't really spoke about this new era stuff because we've not really seen each other.
Of course.
Two things. One, they know that Vince is in deep. Like he must be for them to go. And isn't it funny how when he went away... The first time, right? When he went away the first time, he never did this.
No.
Never, ever, ever did this.
New line drawn, isn't it?
And he is, little old me, saying that, you know, they might say wrestling out loud on TV. And, you know, Michael Cole might say, checks notes, geez, to wrestle in Stardom. Here's little old me saying, it's not that different.
I remember.
It's not that different, actually, so.
It became quite easy in 2023, especially. Year I'll always reflect fondly on, like as a Vince Zoom call segment. Like Triple H just had his pants pulled down by Dad. Like yeah. Go in the office and have a meeting with Vince, will you? And just turn the laptop down. Oh, battery's gone. Yeah, it's different. Like the Triple H even you see like the end slate of these shows now. You've been watching WWE, the global leader in sports and entertainment for 70 years. So you want the legacy, but you want to do away with the phrase.
Yes.
You get to have it all. He wins again.
He always wins, doesn't he?
He always wins, man.
The biggest loser and the biggest winner of all time. I hate him.
He says, what's up?
My God, he can book an intercontinental title.
He can.
Shakes their hands. He said, genuinely, seeing Truth having that Mania moment was awesome. These new belts are going to be the World Tag Team Championships to match the other Raw titles, of course. And he reveals these new gold belts with a black strap. Looks similar to the world title. I really like the look of them. In a weird way, I liked them better when I saw the subsequent pictures of them than when the light was shining on them almost.
I feel about the belts as Sid did for the longest time about the bar that WWE had to clear to be good. Because those tag belts, the red, blue, and then the original black and bronze ones, I think are the,
Penny ones.
The worst belts probably in WWE. Probably worse than the 24 title because at least I knew what it was. 24/7 belt. I hated those tag belts, so I couldn't wait to see the back of them.
What'd you make them?
Ugly. Someone on Twitter, I forget who, I apologize, has described, like the world heavyweight title has this, one of the women's does, and now it's like the Ferrero Rocher effect. I just think it looks ugly. It's weird because it's the two sensibilities of they're trying to make it look like one of those like 2-inch thick old school ones, but then you've got this like embossed logo, this really ugly collision of modern and classic sensibilities. I think they are completely ugly and they should keep a lane. I like the gold boy that Cody's got.
Yeah.
I like that. If you're going to go modern, be unashamedly, this is, we want this big
dub on this belt for branding reasons. They've somehow contrived to make a nice belt out of that for Cody. Otherwise, I know what the promotion's called. Do you need a quarterback to hold it to get more press? I think you're already hot enough as it is. Let's just have nice titles.
Get hype for the SmackDown tag belt, because I'm pretty sure they're going to look like that. They're somewhat like there with the big dub. Like there, you got the Bailey's.
But blue.
But yeah.
Shouldn't they get away from the colour code?
That's what he's been trying to do with the women's as well, hasn't he?
We haven't done it with the tags, idiot.
He's the idiot.
No, it's happening. It's red.
They got the raw belt. The raw ones are black.
No, they're red. They've got red on the plate.
Do they?
Thank you, Nicholas.
I thought that was just reflecting off the red velvet. I didn't realise it.
What a complete moron thing to say.
I didn't. They're just gold.
There's red on it.
That's not red, man. That's a reflection of the red. They're gold. Go on WWE shop. Go on WWE shop, where, by the way, they've already sold out, where you can pre-order one. And you'll just see. It's just gold and silver.
I think I'll take the eye of our editor. I'll take the apology when you look at the video editor. Might have a better eye for this sort of thing. Still red in it, mate? Thank you.
There, that's what you got there.
That's red. Yeah, I apologize. He's right. He was G1.
Anyway. I've got something to cheer you up, because truth gets very excited.
Oh, so they're going to be that but blue.
That's what I'm saying.
I get you now. I like them less now.
Good.
I thought they were going to do like a Cody WWE one for this
match. Nah.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Who's going to get drafted to work?
Still buy one of each. I obviously won't, but they are. But they, you see, really? You see the belts over WrestleMania weekend. Like, people are buying like the custom ones now as well. They're never real.
I held one.
Which one was
so
like
heavy, aren't they?
They're so heavy.
People carry two.
Very,
or three
very nice fan whose name escapes me. I forget. I'm sorry. Allowed me to hold one of the belts. I'm like, I'm the champ.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to carry around for the
day. I asked the bloke, and he was like, I regret it.
Yeah, it's when they've got like four on. Yeah. You've got like one on each shoulder.
No, he had three. He had three. Yeah. He had one around the waist, one on each shoulder.
When do you reckon Chesterfield are going to get their world title belt for winning the National League? That's what I want to know.
I would absolutely love it if they sent you a belt.
Anyway, you know, I'd literally wear that to work every single day.
You used to, didn't you?
Hmm?
Isn't your Twitter profile picture you with a belt mark?
Oh, that's the bum bag. We've still got it in the office somewhere.
All right.
useful, practical and stylish as well.
How would you feel at this point then, considering that they are sort of more known the world over? It's not unrealistic to think that Wrexham might get one.
Sick to my stomach.
Congratulations, Andrew Pollard.
They didn't win the league, though, did they? Stockport won it, didn't they?
I don't care. It's back-to-back promotions or something.
It's pretty...
Something for telly, isn't it?
It's pretty good, isn't it? It's a pretty good achievement, isn't it? Wow. I read the only spent...
Yeah, limited money, I'm sure it's a...
I think it was quite limited to £290,000, I read.
Well, spent unlimited money in the National League, because there's no flipping spending limits there, and knock yourself out.
As they basically spent the next 4 years' worth of money.
Wreck the pyramid.
Proper teams. We also massively outspend everyone. Yeah. Like poor old like Dorking, like, look at that team lineup. And full disclosure, we might have slightly abused the furlough system. We're like, oh God, guys, we can't afford to pay these players who are injured. Anyway, let's sign some more players whilst they're not here.
Forgot about you.
It was like Chester Furlough was being called, or Furlough FC or
forgot
something.
When you were the pandemic heels.
Yeah. The best, the goats. Last day of the season on Saturday.
Are you playing?
Are you taking your foot off the gas? Did he get beat off?
This is my favourite thing about the Spirites. We've completely given up. We literally won the league. I don't think we've won a game since we won the league.
Even before you won the league, there was a few results.
We had a few wobbles, and he was like, come on, we're like 20 points clear. What are we doing? We just win a couple of games, and let's get it done with. We won the league, and I'm fairly certain we haven't won a game since. The lads have been on the piss from then on.
What was the score last night, Gateshead?
2-1 to Gateshead. 2-1 very iffy penalty from what I'm hearing. I was going to go, but...
But you also don't care now. Foot off the gas, complete. Football, don't care. Completed it.
It is very much like I check my phone, the result comes in, I go, oh, we've lost. Oh, well, we're champions.
Anyway, back to Monday Night Raw. Truth is very excited about these new tiles and the magic trick that has created them. He's seen a rabbit come out of a hat. He's seen a lady cut in half. But he's never seen a trick like that. He knows a good magician when he's seen one. He just made tiles appear out of thin oxygen. This is like, he's not a magician. And Truth says, that's exactly what a magician would say. Everyone used to be able to see Little Jimmy. What else is Triple H hiding?
What else is Triple H hiding?
Miz.
I don't know.
I don't know, guys.
Stay on script, guys.
Miz says, this is what we wanted. This is our chance to elevate the tag division, take titles to new heights. That's why Triple H. And Truth says, Triple H! Where's Triple H? He's right there. He's like, nah, is he right through you, Tommaso Ciampa? That genuinely tickled me. I laughed out loud at that.
Right, here's the deal.
I'll tell you that, Triple H, R-Truth popped me on the Raw after WrestleMania.
I was informed about this.
I popped out loud.
Well, yeah. I've been waiting months for this. I prayed for this, and it happened. This what got me about this, right? A good line, genuinely a good line. Like this DIY DX thing is starting to work on me both ways, by the way, because DIY connects and it's like, oh, frig, it's worked. Like, Johnny Gargano, can I be Shawn Michaels? Like, I'm just doing it with a pretense. Can I just beat him? Like, the line was what it was. But again, Triple H, he knows what he's doing. The red bastard, right? What's been one of people's like favorite things about these, like earnestly quite funny segments over the last couple of years? R-Truth and the Judgment Day proper got me the first time.
Mm-hmm.
When like Damian Priest and Finn Balor had to like look off to the side when he was in the clubhouse. The most famous one is the Usy, that Triple H wanted a corpse pop and he wanted to do the, you got me there. It's like, you wrote that line. You definitely wrote that to Master Ciampa line. You're going off book again, now your truth. No. He was pretending to get caught to be wrong-footed by the line that he probably came up with. That game.
Hate him.
He's the king of kings. Honestly, man, what an arsehole.
Anyway, Miz talks in French. That pops the crowd. They go, wee, 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 wee. Truth says, can we take the belts? And Triple H is like, I just want to go. Can I go? Pierce's like, what the bloody hell are you doing? And anyway, shakes hands, holds up the belts. Wishes Pierce good luck.
All right. Awesome truth.
Awesome truth.
Miz getting the babyface stuff in before Backlash. Like French speaker, the Miz.
Indeed.
Le Miz. Oh, no, that's something else, isn't it?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We get the triple threat match to determine the new number one contenders following this. But there was a little glitch on my screen and a QR code. Uncle Howdy, Matt Hardy just so happened to share this video as well.
That's it, just face.
Honestly, man.
Power's gone.
Matt Hardy coming to WWE. I think it'll restore the balance.
Uncle Hardy?
Yeah. Honestly, I need to hate it. I still do at times. But it's getting Paul Levesque, if karma is real,
mm-hmm.
and Julie Hart is true to her word,
yes,
needs to fall. And I don't know, I think signing Matt Hardy is going to get him closer to that than further away. So I'm all for it.
I've got the perfect show for Matt Hardy, and it goes down.
Is it MLW?
He'd fit well in NXT.
Cop Power's got some money to burn, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And he burned it to the ground with that. That bastard asshole.
Yes, so we have DX versus the Creed Brothers.
He works WWE speed, but the clock's run out by the time he gets to the ring.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Matt Fax, this entrance is 3 minutes and 1 second.
Matt Fax, AEW peaked in February 2020, and he signed a month later. It's my favourite Matt fact.
Just quickly, yeah, this was the most like out there Uncle Howdy. So there's been loads, obviously. It was hard not to be moved by the various Bray Wyatt tributes over WrestleMania.
Oh my God, I haven't seen the documentary in full yet. The clips I've seen are devastating. Like, I respect the hell out of Bo Dallas for all of this.
I think they should do it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they're massive shoes to fill, and they're not even really hiding that he's got to fill the shoes in a character that was roundly mocked when it did appear. It's a tough sell, this one.
I'll tell you one thing that I will say, beyond Matt Hardy and Bo Dallas, who we are genuinely hoping the best for because what strength he's shown and what unimaginable grief he's had to endure. In an era where I would argue between the two companies and the surplus, too many people have got contracts, too many people. Eric bloody Redbeard has deserved a contract for a long old time. And the Revolution pre-show match.
Oh, the super sub.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
He was incredible, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I was just waiting for the All Elite graphic to come up for him, and I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Aye.
But yeah, absolutely.
When they were doing Meat Madness before it got scrapped, I tweeted, like, get him in.
Yeah.
He's a mate. He's been class every time.
To be, like, boring and analytical about it and to take the emotion aside, I think it's going to be an interesting test of Triple H as a creative force here because that was a character that was doomed to fail ultimately.
That was bad.
But it's now also got to exist in the shadow, the large shadow that Bray Wyatt has cast. It's a lot of pressure on Bo Dallas. And a thing that he's going to just want to do really well with, like the use of someone like an Eric Rowan might really help it. But I'm just, I'm going to try and be patient with that and hope that it works for the people involved more than the, but
I think a lot of people.
It's a hill to climb.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, a lot of latitude will get extended and so it should.
So it was the triple threat match, DX, Creed Brothers, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. New Day take out everyone with dives to take us to a break. Then everyone's trading moves. Ciampa hits Kingston with Project Ciampa for a two count. Woods comes in, Tornado DDT, gives Gargano the honor roll clothesline. Knocks down Brutus Creed with a forearm. They double team Ciampa, do the New Day. Julius Creed comes in though, breaks up the cover and gives suplexes to just everybody. They also hit the Creed's double Northern Lights suplexes on everyone. For some nice two counts. Julius hit Kingston with a superplex, but Woods hit Julius with a flying elbow drop. And as he goes to the cover, DIY hit Woods with meat in the middle. 1, 2, 3, DIY and number one contenders.
This was awesome from the Creed at points, as it typically is. Yeah. New Day, forever over.
Yeah.
Like, this re-X thing has worked. DIY, again, you've seen it happen. That's what we were saying before. It wasn't just a WrestleMania thing. It wasn't just for a big night. It's not an aftermath random push, it's a continuation. It is working. They're getting over properly over now as baby faces. And then considering what else we saw with the Creeds on the show and who they were training, when you look at that tag division full of really over baby face teams, let's see the Creeds do this as baddies with Chad Gate, like killer super workers.
Brutus Ball as a heel finish.
Yep, like that's what I was left thinking after this Raw. This division actually needs a set of heels, and that's how they're going to get their run because we've not really had that for them yet.
Yeah, I would describe this as every triple threat tag match I've ever seen in the modern era, elevated by a pretty damn hot Montreal crowd. So I had fun with it.
And Tommaso Ciampa telling everyone,
"Hey, this thing, mate, yeah!" Well, they are re-X.
We get a recap of Punk screwing Drew in the main event of last week. Cut to Jackie Redmond, who stood with him, and he's just smiling and laughing at the footage, and she's like, really didn't expect this response from you. And then suddenly he stops smiling, boots the screen and just storms off.
Like, fine. I just love this program and missed it on this Raw. I was like, every week, I was like, what's Punk Drew doing? Like, they're my sort of WrestleMania whiteboard. Now, what's Punk Drew doing this week? And it was nothing this week. So
I loved your shout of the... Is it you? I can always get confused. Summer of Punk. Who said that? Well, Summer of Drew, yeah.
Because I thought the contract stuff was all, at this point, like a lie. I think he signed a while ago and they're keeping it out there to do a Summer of Punk thing.
5 to 6 weeks, the report seemed to claim.
It's because they took him off.
Which is weird that they're putting him on the Scottish show initially.
Well, they took him off the Rumble poster and replaced him with CM Punk. And they can even use the line about not getting on the posters, not getting on the souvenir cups, all that kind of stuff.
This is possibly the first time in WWE's modern history where they actually want AEW to maybe have a couple of good weeks. Because right now, after that catastrophic head loss, the self-inflicted PR wounds, combined with yet more, that many people are going to the show. It does not look like a destination for the hot free agent. Like, if you're in WWE and you're in a position like Drew McIntyre, about to have the money grudge program of a lifetime, after which, when there's two world titles, one of them is inevitable. Why? It's just not believable that he'd want to go to AEW. They need... Dynasty will be incredible, right? It will be. It's impossible not to. They need a few more weeks like they had either side of Revolution for WWE's benefit, almost. Like, I'm not buying Drew going there.
Drew McIntyre is more of a made man now than he was as the pandemic game show host champion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not that I'm saying it was belt make man for the time, because he did feel worthy of it, but this is different gravy. Like, this run.
Saying to Andy on the news as well, in theory, you could do the Punk thing actually properly. Like, they've got a working relationship with TNA. They might not go that far, but in terms of having him appear on other shows, and it's feasible.
Run it in Scotland like Punk got it in Chicago, and take the title. And
They all will. I mean, obviously, Tony Khan has got multiple partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sewn up. So that, like, sort of blocks out quite a few promotions. Impact, he could do. Virtually everyone that doesn't have a working relationship with AEW will just open the doors. Of course they would. They'd be stupid not to.
Moving on, it's time for Indy Hartwell to embrace the dark side. It was her and Candice LeRae versus Maxine Dupri.
I do appreciate your attempts to make this in any way interesting.
I've told the story backwards, right? Like, Candice LeRae's got nicer. Since the first week, she was she was hideous to Maxine Dupri, and then gradually has got a bit less. Like, her performance that first week, whoa! And then he's like...
4 weeks later, foot on the ropes.
Barely cheating. Yeah. I love it. Let's do more of it.
That's cheating. Oh, still lose.
This is poor.
Yes. Dupri's very fired.
Sorry. Superb. That's what it is.
Dupri fired up early on.
Here's the road to WrestleMania. Said some stuff.
I did some stuff. You all regret things that we do. So
she hits Hartwell with a flying crossbody and a fisherman suplex. But Dupri gets into it with Candice because of obviously what's gone before. That allows Hartwell to bring in Candice. Dupri tries to tag out, but the referee doesn't see it because Indy's jumped in. So he's busy with her, so he doesn't see the tag.
Well,
Ivy Nile tries to come in. He's like, you know, you need to get out of the ring. As that's going on, Indy Hartwell drops Dupri, kicks her in the head, and drags LeRae over because she's been knocked down onto the pile. 1, 2, 3. This time it's Candice's turn to go, what the bloody hell's going on, Indy?
Can I ask, Adam Wilborn, you're incredible at your job. Can I offer some notes?
Go on.
Okay. Right. Your line readings and your dramatic readings and the recaps, when it's hot, you're the best in the game. When the action's hot, you're the best in the game. You need to dial back the enthusiasm when the action isn't hot. Indy Hartwell jumps in. What? I mean, she might have meandered in. She might have stumbled in. She might have just walked in. She didn't jump in. She never jumped into nothing. Like,
before the Fed got going, you would do these recaps, and then people weren't watching, so they would think, oh, that sounds quite exciting. And that's why they would listen to the podcast. Now they're actually watching. They just think you're a liar.
Yeah. You would never get an indication of how slow and how quiet this was. I suppose that's what I'm for, the dickhead. So that's it. It works. It works.
The dynamic here.
You can hear a rare piss on cat.
It's the laziest response. You know, he's many of your women, isn't he? I don't know, lose the tag team. 10 of them. Like, it's just rubbish. It's ran into trash.
Adam Wilton.
Yes.
Adam Blair takes care of the data. Yeah. On the Raw after Mania, he was talking about Bronson Reed, and God bless his soul, he tried to do the rat piss on cotton thing 6 times. Couldn't get it right. Could not get it right. It's hard sometimes. I get it wrong sometimes. See? I told you.
I don't mind them setting up all these loser tag teams, because there's one tag team that's going to absolutely tear through every single person who's lined up for him, and that's the greatest female tag team, I think, ever in Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair that's just been established on SmackDown. A team that has just been thrown together that we all know is going to split up, and I'm like, I cannot wait for that split.
It's embarrassing, the gulf between them and every other team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, very lucky to see Shayna Baszler, and she was seconded by Zoe Stark at Bloodsport, and the two of them come out.
I saw it because people posted that video of you, and there were some like people in the background.
Apparently there were some of the wrestlers there. Shayna Baszler was like like a perfect choice for Bloodsport, you know, ultimately. Suited the aesthetic really well. And to be fair, Zoe as well, like a hard-hitting wrestler, mm-hmm. like had the towel, looked super serious, was mega into it, the whole deal. And then, like, their day job is this division, this loser slug division. Piss poor. Like, he doesn't, Triple H doesn't get enough grief. Like, yes, I think he's a, when he first took over, the women's division was like the easy win. Just continue to not do it. Can't deny now, if you look at the big matches and the big stars, he's dealt with that. This women's undercard is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, eh?
We get a great video package on Damian Priest plotting his journey to becoming world champion. Then Judgment Day in the back. And they, yeah, there's this sort of power vacuum, of course, now with no Rhea Ripley. And they're all a bit down in the dumps. And Priest says, hey, we still run WWE. And he tells Dom to teach Andrade a lesson and McDonough to have his back. And Finn's like, I feel like we should try and get those tag titles back. But yeah, I'm facing Jey Uso tonight. And Priest says, look, focus on tonight. Teach him the meaning of the word loss. I'm going to teach him the meaning of the word pain at Backlash. Yeah, he says, you're all right with that? And Balor's suddenly like, ah, I think we've got a new leader already.
We know where it's going. I hope they get there soon. Damian Priest, Jey Uso out the way. Get to the Finn Balor match and turn. I get to the point of it now.
Get to the point.
We see Chad Gable training with the Creed brothers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Don't check it. Quite frankly.
She's like, how are you feeling about facing Sami Zayn in Montreal? And he says, look, I made the Olympic team as a Minnesota guy in Iowa. I know, just like back then, no one in this building wants me to win, but I'm going to do exactly what I did back then, and I'm going to expose Sami Zayn.
Good, like, subtle heel stuff here. He's turned on the crowd without outwardly turning on them. And like, just needless dig at the guy that he was apparently like best mates with in the run to WrestleMania. You knew at that point, you knew what was coming, and it was exciting to watch it play out.
Andrade versus Dominic Mysterio next. Andrade goes for the three amigos. Dom reverses the last one, got two of his own, and then Andrade reverses the final one, goes up top. But JD's running a distraction. He gets crotched by Dom to take us to a break. We come back with Andrade hitting those running knees of his in the corner, but he misses the moonsault. They head to the apron, and Dominic hits a This Country Destroyer, in the words of Pat McAfee, a Canadian destroyer on the apron. Goes for the 619. Andrade kills him with that back elbow, knocks McDonough off the apron, and hits the message for the 1-2-3. McDonough attacks Andrade after the match, but Ricochet runs out to make the save.
Like, I feel like I'm going over all ground here. Moves in, it matches in, it's got to be more. This was a waste of a frigging apron Canadian destroyer in a match that didn't warrant it, for a crowd that didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, laid out in a way that was wasteful of the bump. This is not me like praying for wrestlers' necks or anything, but like, you get these moves.
You love a wrestler's neck, you.
I do love a wrestler's neck.
Loves it.
I think the guy's taking the bumps. But like, I think
they volunteer to do it.
They not care.
If you love a wrestler's neck,
they get the little rocks off.
If you love a wrestler's neck, have I got a bump for you later on?
Yeah, I didn't care about almost all of this, truthfully. Still don't think this Andrade run is clicking.
I always wait till he gets to the back elbow. It's my favourite part.
I'm as pleased for Andrade as anybody that at WrestleMania he had a match that was highly rated, more so than CM Punk and Samoa at Wembley.
What did it get?
3-3, brother. Did it get 4?
No, I think you're right, 3-3.
There's always one. Every PLE now, there's one, isn't there? Well, it's going to get more than 3.5.
Yep.
Oh. And it was this tag match that was like, well, as good as this singles match.
It was a match in which the best wrestler wasn't in it.
Yeah.
That's whacking wild.
Where are we? There we go. Yeah, 3-3.
So I guess this was
4.25 for the triple threat with Logan Paul, Owens and Orton.
I really like that triple threat. I liked it a lot.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. CM Punk, Samoa Joe, all in. Exact level with it. LA Knight, AJ Styles.
It's funny.
Okay, Dave.
It's funny.
We recap Tama Tonga's debut on SmackDown. Kathy wants to talk to Jey Uso about it. He says, look, messing with the bloodline is a deep and dark road. He told Jimmy, come with him. He's, you know, serious for a moment. But he's concentrating on Finn Balor, who's going to catch this yeet down.
Yeet, 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 yeet.
Oh, yes. Still got it.
Still WrestleMania, are you?
Katie Carter and Katana Chance are back from the Clearbix. They're in action next against Piper Niven and Chelsea Green.
Forgot you did that.
Yeah, I love it. Piper Niven ran them both over.
That's not how people usually say things when they do ring announcing.
Do you remember the week she wasn't allowed to?
Oh,
And the internet was like, what the hell's happened to this frigging business?
Yeah,
don't worry, Samantha Irvin got Chelsea Green back.
I think Sidge and I both kind of changed our opinion of Samantha Irvin over WrestleMania. We're all a bit like, yeah, it's fine. And then...
Well, it's hard not to get swept up in the ridiculously broadness of it all. On telly, I'm like...
I also liked her burying... Was it Brian Hebner she went after on X?
What's this?
Oh, Brian Hebner.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, she's rubbish.
Or I just want to grab the remote and turn it down whenever she's on screen.
And she went, I think mirroring perhaps, because I think Michael Buffer put her over. And she's like, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Is this true? Michael Buffer's put me over. I think that, apologies if that's wrong. She said, I can't believe, is this right? What I'm hearing is true. Earl Hebner's got a son.
That's good.
Mind.
Wake up, Dumas. It's 2014.
That's it.
How do you not know he's got a son?
Unlock the wrath of Earl Hebner on Twitter. That might be the last mistake she ever makes.
I forgot about his tweets.
Wake up, Dumas. It's 2014.
I'm going to find some of these other
ones. He's the best. He's the king of this.
I like to call it the cash in. Like the... Anyway, please just cash in this morning, my friend, Jesus Christ.
Because like, normally they're like, you remember when they used to be like, you want to cash in? Yeah. You cashing in? Who's cashing in? What's happening? You're just like, have you not known what's about to happen here? I loved it, yeah. And I loved her, the emotion in her voice. There we go. Some gems from Earl Hebner's old Twitter account. You keep working. You're two... You're 925... number two... job for 25,000 a year, you asshole, but like, not part. Just had a double count out with two Big Macs at McDonald's. he went into after it with Aunt Jemima. At Jemima Pancakes, you just wish you could be me.
Who'd want to be Earl Hebner, man?
Oh, dear. Good stuff from anyway, in the middle of the match, there was a nice spot. Carter had Green on her shoulders. Chance leaped off the rope, jumped off of Green's back and tried a flying crossbody. Niven caught, though. Fall away slam. She also hit a running crossbody and Green covered to get the win.
They're a welcome return in this useless division. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven.
Yes.
A ray of light.
Yes.
Down a very dark tunnel.
I have no thoughts. It's bad. It's bad. You know what? I should reiterate. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Mm. Should we cheer you up? With a game.
Please do.
It's now time for the Raw Riddle. Ooh. I've actually remembered it this week. Sidge might need your help on this one.
Yeah, I was absolutely baffled yesterday.
That's the riddle doing its job, all right?
We play this on the Raw preview. We give you an answer on the Raw review, if I actually remember. The riddle.
Sometimes we give you at the start of the Raw review and then the answer on NXT, but...
Sometimes it rocks upon Dynamite. Oh, sorry, guy.
But this is the riddle I hit Sidge with yesterday. Picture the scene. You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible?
Are they below deck? Is it that easy? But no, you wouldn't be able to
see them through the windows.
Read it again. If you're in a submarine.
You see a boat filled with people.
Submersible.
Yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible?
One more time.
You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible?
So the trick with the riddles, and Wilborn helps in this regard, isn't to listen to the words that are being focused on, it's to spot the other ones.
Picture the scene.
Second line.
You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible?
They're all married. Single people. You know, ignore the boat, ignore the...
I'll go with that. I don't like his face, though.
Yeah! How would you know? How would you know they're married?
I love them already.
They're all hung up. Oh, look, I got a ring on.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. But join us next week for another.
Few of them do.
What's your take on that, Triple H?
Liv Morgan gets interviewed by Kathy Kelly in the back. Gets booed. And it's like, well, why is everyone booing me? Everyone's... mad at me.
They're just traps.
Fear them all. These riddles.
It's traps.
The raw trap. The raw lie.
Yeah. She's not the bad guy.
That said, it was good in 2022.
That's it. The raw riddle is you enjoying Clash at the Castle.
Yeah. How was that happening?
Good.
Yeah. Liv's, wonder where the sympathy was even for her.
Symphony, what?
When Ripley
Scott Steiner symphony.
Ripley injured her shoulder.
You fat.
Morgan called it karma at its finest. She said her revenge tour wasn't over. It ends with her as world champion.
Cool.
Good promo this year.
Yeah, not bad.
Out comes Cody Rhodes.
That downstairs, that smoking mirrors.
Bit of both.
Huge bat, and he asked the crowd, "De quoi veux-tu parler?" And they cheer.
But you bloody love that, don't you?
Yeah, I've been practicing that. Thanks, Pierce, for allowing
me. I thought you went a bit French when you talking about the crowd before you did
yeah,
the French.
Yeah, get into it.
The crowd.
The crowd. He thanks Pierce for allowing him to appear on Raw, despite the fact he's representing SmackDown, for now at least. He says, look, but you can't reflect on WrestleMania forever. I've got a pending challenge. I'm facing either AJ Styles or L.A. Knight.
Yeah. We.
At Backlash. He wants to reflect somewhat, though.
Thanks, Sid.
About the man who said he'd be his shield. And he thanks Seth Rollins. Talks about The Rock. And spending all that money and doing all the conditioning for his match. He had his cheat day yesterday, Nicholas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What a pancakes.
And he deserves a treat. He's the best.
He deserves a treat.
The Rock deserves a treat.
Well, his whole life's a treat.
Of course he does. The Rock deserves a treat.
Yeah,
he does.
He's giving me a treat every Friday on Instagram. I miss that. Fridays feel hollow now.
What were the, oh yeah, the aye, the promos. That was a run, wasn't it?
Oh
God. What did he give Cody? It was in the hand.
Did you hear the theory? It was a lighter. He torched the bus.
I'm fairly certain Cody should have kicked his ass then and there.
Would that at least thread together your theory that like every WrestleMania has got to have a weird out of nowhere vehicular angle?
Yes.
Setting fire to Cody's bus as a
did
shoot.
Did that happen this year or not?
Nah. So they saved it till WrestleMania. Well, if you recall, John Cena and The Undertaker were on the truck.
Yes.
Where Cody was beating up
LA Knight. Yes, yes, yes. LA Knight drove to AJ Styles' house.
Yeah, they had a
in
fight
the Slim Jim car, Slim probably. Car. Beep, beep. Anyway, he says that Rock's probably got more than one match left in him. Yes, of course, The Rock mentioned he was going to make Cody bleed again. He's probably right, he says. But if I'm going to bleed, you're going to bleed with me. So it was a great response. He's confused with the whole bloodline stuff, though. The introduction of Tama Tonga by order of the tribal chief, and yet Reigns was nowhere to be found. More questions than answers.
Bloodline riddle.
But he wants to bring someone to the ring who knows the bloodline very well. It's a friend of Cody's. Someone who, when they show up, you can feel the energy in the building from your head to your yeet.
Good. That's a good line.
That deserved a bigger pop, Montreal. I'm not happy. Hey, it's Jey Uso.
Yee, 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 yee.
Hey, says Jey's the number one contender. Ray's of just Ray. Raw
He's
is
my
about
favorite wrestler.
Monday Night Ray. Ray is war.
Ray is war.
Raw Mysterio.
Some of Raw. So.
Roar is about to belong to Jey. No one's earned it more than him. Jey helped him finish the story.
Yeah.
Bubba Raw Dudley.
Raw Stevens. So that's old school.
He offers to help Jey Uso. He'd have his back like Jey had his. But Jey shakes his hand.
Ray and Ricky, the Usos.
I'm trying to think of Ray's now. Raw trailer.
Jey's going to do it on his own. Oh, God. He's going to be the Yeet Master. Mr. Yeet Down. And Cody goes to leave and he says, just one more thing. Until we yeet again.
Double pop. Eyes to Simon.
Before we get the match, though, Nia Jax is in the back. And I thought, oh, yes, the title's vacant. Let's go. Nia Jax doesn't give a damn about Rhea Ripley. No one in this division can stop her from winning the title. She's taken care of Morgan. She's taken care of Becky Lynch the last time she saw them. And there are two types of people on the planet. Those who fear Nia Jax and those who learn to fear Nia Jax. The title's hers. Bloody hope so as well. Love her.
It's looking like the tournament final, isn't it, Nia Jax and Liv Morgan? Because ain't no more wrestlers right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. No. Unless they get Becky back. His contract runs out very soon as well.
I don't think anything's going to happen there, but it is interesting. Like her and Seth all at the same time.
Then we got Jey Uso versus Finn Balor. Balor's attacks him from behind. Jey fights back after a break. Balor rakes his eyes, sets up for a dropkick, but runs into a super kick. Balor avoids the Uso splash and dropkicks Jey into the corner to set up for the coup de grace. Jey avoids that. Spear, Uso splash, 1, 2, 3.
It's a very emphatic, anticlimactic, matter of fact, pretty boring, just there. Tell you what, Jey Uso's...
That's what you get from the best in the business, Balor.
He's learned. He's become, by some people's definition, the greatest wrestler of all time. Remember the TDS people go, shouldn't take bumps, shouldn't do this stuff called excitement, should earn the most money by doing the least.
Yeah.
Aye, if you're Hulk Hogan and you've got that mindset, you're watching this for fun, aren't you? Jey Uso's got it nailed.
I absolutely love Jey Uso, but it's the beginning of the end of his singles run. Like, they're laying out the tease here that he's going to ultimately forgive Jimmy. Good. Like, I'll forgive them both for that WrestleMania match when they reunite and start decent tags again. Jey Uso's absolutely magic. And then the bell rings.
Was there a clip of Jimmy shouting at his daughter or
yeah,
someone?
Yeah, I saw that. Get off the phone.
See when his daughter's on her phone.
What's your dad?
Can you blame her?
I love that. What a loser.
It's that of the match.
Gotta love what came next, though, because Damian Priest comes down, stay down with Jey. Of course, they're going to fight for the title at Backlash.
Is she one of them, like, it counts that way? You see somebody at, like, a WWE show watching Collision on my phone. This is so boring. Jimmy's his daughter. She's Drain Maker. Or Drawn Maker.
Yeah.
McDonough and Dom attack Jey from behind whilst having this stare down. Priest doesn't get involved. Seems a bit pissed off by it all, to be honest. But Balor gets in his face and joins in the attack. Jey manages to get out of there. He rolls out of the ring, super kicks Dom as he jumps out of the ring, and then jumps into the crowd and throws McDonough into Balor to escape. And then, well, this happened. Hang on, I've got a button here for it. I'll guarantee it when I can bloody find it. And then this happened.
Martin Scorsese, yeet.
Because the camera follows Jey as he leaves the arena, walks through the concourse, slaps hands with fans, pushes one fan away, he's trying to take a photo with him. We're in the middle of something.
Yeah.
Walks out of the arena. Who's there waiting outside the arena but Sami Zayn?
It's a bit contrived, but everything after that was good.
Yeah, huge pap for him, obviously.
Yeah, she never gets there. Sami Zayn,
I know.
Oh, is that my cue? He's looking at the Bell Center. He says his first show.
The very building where Judy Hart said, God will strike you down, Hunter.
Yes.
The very building.
Ah. And look what happened. Sounds the best time of his life.
He'll get there.
Professional life.
Yeah.
Julie was right.
Zayn said the first show he ever saw was in this building 25 years ago. Now he's returned as champion, but he wants to enter the building the same way he did back then, right through the front door. And so we follow Zayn as he goes back. The way Jey came back through the fans in the concourse, who are losing their minds. He's firing himself up, and he walks into the room, however many people there are in the arena. Huge pap. Great spot, this. Great
ultimate reward for the smartest fans, this, because they went to the concessions out the toilet when Jey Uso was wrestling. So they deserved getting Jey Uso and Sami Zayn walking through them, because they're smart. Like, this was gorgeous.
This is really
POV shot of Sami Zayn entering into his hometown. Like, of all the wrestlers on all the nights, this was, like, they've been doing that with him anyway from Gorilla.
Yeah.
But this was the night to extend it out of the building. This was lovely.
Just unbelievable. Night and day in terms of how production has changed in the last year or so.
Yeah.
And it does deserve the respect. Kind of getting sick of this, made moderate improvements. First of all, that's my friggin' line. That is my line from 18 months ago. And second of all, it just looks great.
Mm.
It just really sort of, like, it's a genuine production choice. It's not just better than what it used to be. It completely gives you, it completely captures the scale and the emotion of how big and how effective WWE is these days.
That transformed a lot of people's opinions of the Sami Zayn match.
Indeed, yes, the Sami Zayn IC title match. I was like, I said to Wilborn, I was like, I'm in.
The Kevin Owens bit.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Because as it turns out, and as I will talk about imminently, I was completely too cynical about all of this.
So Sami Zayn's out there. Before Chad Gable can come out, he's confronted by Bronson Reed, who says it doesn't matter whoever wins tonight. They're not going to be champ for long because big Bronson Reed's coming for him. And then we get Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. They face off to take us to break early on in the match. Sammy looks to fly out of the ring, but stops himself and backflips and lands on his feet. And I think that was when we go to break, actually, off the back of the stair down after that. We come back. Gable's in control. Big dive to the outside. Diving headbutt gets a two count. We see Sami Zayn's wife in the front row. Gable's targeting Zayn's leg, but Zayn fires back with a clothesline. Gable reverses an exploder into a cradle for a near fall. Puts him in an ankle lock, but Zayn knocks him outside and hits a springboard moonsault. That takes us to another break. We come back. Gable hits a super angle slam off the top, but they're both down. He can't follow up. Gable comes back with consecutive German suplexes, but Zayn does the same. Gable switched and hit another one. So again, Zayn does the same.
When he's got landed on his head, that was awesome.
Yeah, this was when they counter each other, and then Zayn suplexes Gable right on his head.
Oh my God.
Suplex number five. I love it when he rocks it. It's always a running.
Yeah.
You like next turf? What do you think?
I was just.
He doesn't like next turf. I don't, bitch.
Yeah, I don't. It's true. I don't love next stuff, but I love.
You like next?
Yeah, well, I like wrestlers next.
He likes next stuff. ... As long as it's in the Fed.
Yeah,
correct.
I'm not wrong, am I?
Nah. And it's like Will Ospreay's thing about the grind. What a load of bollocks! Like that man does more damage to his neck in one match than like 50 wrestlers on an average Raw do.
That's what I said. Exactly the same thing. Yesterday.
He's not willing to like. Whatever Triple H's line was, I don't want that kind of guy. It's my ass.
Not allowed.
I don't like Ospreay, but you want that guy.
It's not allowed to pay him that much because it's not up to you, Paul.
You can't afford Will Ospreay. You apparently can't afford Steve Austin. You're a loser again, Paul.
I guess he's going to push Ricochet now, isn't he? Well, I don't need him.
Yeah, Ricochet,
so, yeah.
Honestly, one of the reasons I popped so big for The Undertaker, other than just being completely caught up in the moment, mm-hmm. I don't know if we've ever kind of talked about it, but none of us are massive fans of the old Deadman. But like, I started to get concerned.
Why not?
Maybe I don't have enough respect for him.
Thank you, sir. I respect your right to say it, even if I disagree. Because that's America,
that's
bitch.
That's what's called freedom. I ever heard of it?
It's about the flag. Colors never run.
Occasionally with a blue line through them, it'll check out my hood. It's on my documentary. Anyway,
colors
I was worried.
Never run, but I do through the crowd after my spot.
I was honestly worried that, like, if they can't get Austin, like, Triple H's brain is like, well, we've had Rock of Austin, and then it's me.
And then
he'd come out and do a pedigree for the good of the business. I'll stop the bloodline. Honestly worried it'd be him.
Oof. Anyway, back to the match. Zayn hits an exploder out the corner, goes to the Huluva kick, but this time Gable picks his leg, puts him in an ankle lock. Zayn counters out of it, hits a powerbomb, goes for a sharpshooter, but his leg gives out. I like that spot. And then Gable avoided a Huluva kick again because Zayn's struggling to get over. Gave Zayn a German suplex into the middle ropes, puts him in another ankle lock.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Zayn reverses into a cradle for two, gives Gable an exploder into the turnbuckles.
Oh, my God.
Huluva kick, 1-2-3. Sami Zayn retains the IC title. Should we talk match, and then we'll talk post-match angle afterwards?
I thought this match was absolutely class. Proper grade TV wrestling in that they're going to have a completely different match on pay-per-view because they're masters. They can completely be great at both mediums. Mm-hmm. This was a perfect match to build a match because unto itself it was also just this great match. It's measured to absolute perfection to just total master craftsman doing masterful borderline genius stuff in there. Like, I was shocked at how much this flew by. I just was watching, it just got to the finish. How the hell has that happened? Mm. And yet it was never rushed. It was incredibly urgent, breathless, exciting, very, like, so lean, didn't take the piss, didn't take ages doing one sort of segment of it. And yet, with every little bit of movement, bit of footwork, it just felt like a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a great, great, great TV match. And they're going to have a great, great, great pay-per-view match that'll look completely different to this. I thought I was just so impressed by the way they approached this and executed it. Like, you're not met, you're, it's meant to be a little bit like you're taking the piss if you leave something in. How do you do it? How do you reserve something and not make me resent you for, like, not giving me everything?
I couldn't believe how much they were doing when you knew that they were leaving stuff behind. That was, like, I'm watching this thing being like, this has to be, like, the fourth or the fifth in the series because they're doing everything and you eat and you know because you can sense the turn coming. Even if not on this Raw, you knew the turn was going to come and there would be more matches. I couldn't believe what I was watching considering I knew I was only watching the first of a series, or at least there's going to be a step up in the near future.
I mean, the brilliant storytelling allowed the emotional investment as well, which will always matter more than moves.
Like Sami Zayn's
I'll try not to be that podcaster, but there's a kernel of truth to it, obviously.
Yeah.
But more than a kernel.
Like Sami Zayn's selling here was perfect because Chad Gable had basically hobbled him early doors, knowing that he's not 100% still coming off the Gunther match, the match that he readied him for, so he also knows his weaknesses, whereas he's going in like fully fit. So Gable's got him early, so Zayn, really more than his ability, of which he was proving it over and over again, was level to Chad's. What he's got that Chad Gable doesn't have is that desire, and that was what he was always going to beat him with. And I thought there was like such an elegance to the finish as well. Like everything he had to do to beat Gunther, and he beats Chad with one finisher in a very unfussy, I've got you now, it's the end of the match, I win. Even though I've got bad wheels, like my lever kick's going to get it done, you're not, like it was saying, you're not on my level, but not in like a heelish way.
Yeah.
I am the better man, Chad. I'm sorry about that, but and Sami Zayn would do that apologetically. I'm the better man. I just thought it didn't need like multiple finisher kickouts, and there will be a day for that, but this was not that. There was a clear winner and a loser here, and that motivates what we get next.
Oh.
You know, it had to play out the way it did to get for the end stuff to be as effective as it was.
So yeah, Sami Zayn's retained. He lays the belt down. Gable's in the corner in tears. Zayn goes over, helps him to his feet, raises his arm. Gable's like, no, he's the real champ. Gable leaves. And the show's ending. Sami Zayn rolls out of the ring. He celebrates with his wife and his family who are there in the front row. When suddenly you see a person appear behind Sami Zayn, grab him by the waist and German suplex him outside the ring. He chucks Sami around ringside, chucks him over the announce table. Chad Gable snapped. He shoves Zayn into the ring post and puts an ankle lock on him whilst wrapping him in the turnbuckle and the ropes and what have you. Zayn's tapping on the post, basically. The officials are trying to stop Gable, and Gable doesn't let it go as the show goes off the air. I thought this was a phenomenal ending to the show.
This is great. Permit me to waste a few seconds of airtime here. I'm going to read out a tweet that I wrote this morning, and I myself kind of believe the extent to which I've put Paul Levesque over.
Mm.
He's actually becoming, at least in this division, a quite tremendous booker. And I've completely doubted him. I was very cynical about when this would happen. They've, in fact, plotted it and paced the storyline masterfully. Hold my hands up. Levesque was right. I was wrong. So I tweeted this morning, between the awesome match quality, intense emotion at both extremes, seminal peaks, unpredictable drama, and how the huge stakes drive organic character development, the Intercontinental title scene is the best division in wrestling, and it's not remotely close. This is the most I've been impressed by any bit of booking I've seen all year, and I love the formation of the New Elite. It's just quite incredible how it's just followed the path set by Gunther.
Mm.
You thought this was going to be a self-contained thing. No. Like, this division in terms of the interweaving, deft, dovetailing stories that they've done in this division has been nothing short of professional wrestling perfection. There's not a single thing that I want out of pro wrestling that they haven't accomplished in the first quarter of 2024 with this Intercontinental title division. That brain buster was the ultimate example of what I try and sort of lecture people on all the time, is that discipline matters in storytelling, and less is more. The fact that they did the brainbuster to vanquish this, like, invincible killer of a champion was note perfect. I have had my head blown clean off by how brilliant this is. The fact that I did not see that coming at all. I didn't think Levesque had a twist or just a bit of finality like that in him. So you've got that ultimate, unpredictable, swerve, feel-good ending at WrestleMania. The total euphoria of that moment and how, what, 2 weeks later, you've got the ultimate heartbreak, the opposite end of the extremes, the fact that you can't predict it, the fact that this Intercontinental title has been positioned as the exact thing a wrestler of the style and philosophy that Chad Gable would have. You can absolutely believe it's Centum West, that he suffered complete head loss at the idea that that's my title to win. I'm the best technical wrestler. I was the best amateur wrestler. I'm just, this is mine. It has to be mine. Why isn't it mine? And the fact that it's not his. Triple H and heel turns, he's incredible at them.
Yeah.
Between Chad Gable and Drew McIntyre, he's really quite unbelievable at the heel turn and just how long it should take. I've always found it so stupid in wrestling when, you know, I'm a good guy. No, I'm a baddie now. I'm not as over as a baddie. I'll be a goodie. It's kind of stupid. Triple H has really kind of mastered, at least in those two examples, how to do a heel turn. The match quality is off the charts. Brilliant. I'm in love with how this has all progressed. Just the idea of, you want to one day, you want to believe that Chad Gable, whose best role is probably as a babyface. You can believe him as a babyface again if you're as pedantic and detail-oriented as me, and not everybody is, because it took him so long. Like, he really tried. And the location-specific booking is absolutely incredible as well. And the fact that Triple H has pulled off the shock at WrestleMania 40, that my head was blown clean off by it. The precedent now exists in a ghetto-esque fashion. The precedent now exists for, they're going to screw him at Sammy in his hometown. Could this go that way? Because the impossible has happened before. Now I'm welcoming the impossible happening again. Triple H in this Intercontinental title division. This is his biggest booking masterstroke yet. And I probably include NXT in that.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add to that. Like, WWE has historically loved hometown heat just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Just for the needling, prodding sake of it. This was obviously the perfect execution of how to get heat in the hometown. But again, just to go back to something we were talking about at the start, as a plan B, I think I love what we saw here even more, knowing it wasn't originally the idea. Because what they've done, obviously, when they realise they have to do something different, it's like, well, again, it doesn't have to be different. It can be different and we can make it make sense. Like, we control the story. The results aren't real. Let's make this make sense. The idea that since October, whenever it was, when Gable thought that was going to be his night in his hometown with his family, and he failed them. And it, you know, if you just buy into the kayfabe, that's sat with him and it's ate him alive. And then he sort of eats that one last time in that gauntlet, but he thinks, I'll do the right thing by Sami Zayn. And now in Chad Gable's mind, you're thinking, he's thinking Sami's going to lose in front of his family too. But he didn't. He won. First try. Like, he got it.
First try.
Got his family moment. He got it at WrestleMania. And now he's getting it again at my expense. No, I can't. I cannot sanction that. So the execution of that played out fantastically. As you pointed out, like the blocking or whatever you would call it, about how you saw the arms first. That's not an embrace. Like, so you get a split second to register it. So even that was shot. It didn't need it. Like, we as the viewer, there could be the dramatic irony of, we know this character's about to die. But they didn't even give you that. It was instead, you suffered the shock along with Sami Zayn's wife. So even that was executed flawlessly.
Shock composition.
Yeah.
In WWE. Yeah. What are we doing? What's happened?
It was magnificent.
What happened? What's happened?
Well, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed, particularly that main event.
It gives me no joy to put Levesque over to the hilt like this, but when he deserves it, he'll get the praise.
Mm-hmm. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section.
Agree.
Or on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch. They can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilmer. It's getting more and more pronounced. I love it. Follow me at Adam Wilmer. Follow.
He's been watching the Fed. He's into a shot composition.
Indeed.
Brilliant hard producer. Cameras, brother.
At it, Adam Nicholas. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be back later on today to preview NXT. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to Hamflett, to Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.